Hello, welcome to the Good Book Club for Epiphany 2019. Today is January 24th, 2019. Today is day 16 of the Good Book Club. Today's reading is from Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 13. What then should we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity in the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity in the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good. Did what is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin working death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. Well, that's a lot of sin, isn't it? I think it's helpful to review where we are in the overall course of the letter. Paul has turned his attention in chapter 7 to the Jewish believers in the church at Rome, and he's trying to lay out two things at the same time. The first is he's trying to, for whatever reason, establish his bona fides as a person upholding the law. And he does not want to be in the rhetorical trap of calling the law ungood. As you will recall, and I think it's always helpful to keep before us, the law, the Torah, what we would call some of the writings at the beginning of the Old Testament, to the Jews, both then and now, these words of God, these commandments and ordinances and statutes, they are gift. They are not onerous. They are not oppressive. They are not meant to put constraints around people, but because of the giftedness of the law that the Jews have received, it is meant to be a way to life, a way to live to God, a way to order one's life. And so Paul doesn't want to be in the position of basically trashing on his inheritance as a Jew. And so what he's trying to lay out here in these verses that build upon the verses that came before earlier in chapter 7 is that the law is good, and where the law gets twisted is not a fault of the law, and indeed, he's not even wanting to say it's a fault necessarily in humanity, save that humankind is under the sway of sin, with a capital S, and death, with a capital D. And so, he, in this part of his argument, wants to lay out that sin, this force, this power that came into the world through Adam's disobedience, the first human's disobedience, the power of sin actually overwhelms the law. The law brings knowledge, Paul says, but the law does not bring the ability to obey it. In other words, I know what I'm supposed to do and not do, but sin, with a capital S, at every opportunity, seizes that moment to keep me under its bondage. In spite of the gift of the law, I am still under the bondage of sin. This bit where he talks about, I didn't even know what it was to covet until the law told me not to covet, and then covetousness gets all over me. I think that's almost an echo of what kind of knowledge saves us and keeps us hindered. If you think about the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, God in that story gives Adam and Eve all the permission in the world. Have everything except this one thing. From this one plant, this one tree, you can't eat that. The fruit of that one tree you can't have. Everything else, have fun, enjoy, eat and feast. And what's the one thing that invariably Adam and Eve cannot leave alone? You see, they cannot leave alone the one thing. The knowledge that there's one thing that they can't have drives them to that one thing. And even though plenty of Christian theologians would say that sin, with a capital S, enters the world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, I think that one thing that is true in that story is true in what Paul is bringing forward in this passage in Romans. That just because we know what we're supposed to do, or what we're not supposed to do, doesn't mean that we have the power or the ability to do or not do the thing. And that's jumping a little ahead. We're going to hear Paul really explicate that in tomorrow's reading. But the summation in this passage today is Paul emphasizes at the end, the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good. I'm not going to give up, Paul is saying, on the holiness and the righteousness and the inherent giftedness of receiving the law. But in spite of that giftedness, sin is still at work, and sin is using its power through manipulation of the law in some ways to pour on me the consequences of death. I think that that's a worthy thing for us to think about. Those of us who are Christians, we would hear in all of this the commandments that Jesus gave. And what did Jesus say were the greatest commandments? To love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, that is not, those two commandments aren't easy. And for any of us who are the least bit attentive to how we live our lives, we know that daily we fail in loving God with everything that is within us. And maybe more upfront and personal, we fail every day in loving our neighbor as ourselves. And sometimes we fail to even love ourselves. These commandments that Jesus gives, that he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, they still call up for us our own shortcomings, our own failings. They still remind us of the things that we do and leave undone. And one of the things I think is helpful for us to think about as Christians is that even though we have these commandments, and even though this is a summation of how we're supposed to live our lives, we're never completely able to do that perfectly. Which is why, back to the theme that I've been kind of hammering home through all of these readings, which is why we can't depend upon our own abilities, but we throw our trust, we throw our faith, we throw our helplessness to the faithfulness of Jesus, who is the embodiment of God's righteousness. That is good news. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.